Thanks for joining us at the Business Growth Cafe, where each week we select from a menu of topics for a focused discussion with an industry expert to provide insights that can impact your business's growth. With your host, Angelo Ponzi.
I am Angelo Ponzi, your host here at the Business Growth Cafe, and thank you for joining us. If you've ever been without health insurance or had a plan with very few benefits, then boom, voila, you have got great coverage. Then bam, now you don't. You know how important healthcare benefits are. It can have a tremendous impact on you as an individual and your family. Now, if you're a business employer, times that by X number of employees you have in your business, and to have a strong and good program is about really providing not only for your employees, but also it's a strategic business approach to making sure that your business stays healthy. And today we're going to explore some of that. And today at the cafe, I've invited Brandon Carl, VP of Sales for Engage PEO, to talk about the value of benefits programs can have on your business and how an external company managing these programs can help you stay focused as a business leader on the important strategic issues to help keeping your company growing. Brandon, welcome.
Perfect. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. So before we get things started, why don't you talk a little bit about yourself and your company?
Sure. Absolutely. So, I mean, just getting back to the basics, born and raised in Orange County. I've been out here my whole life, and I've been always in the PEO industry, and it's not where I expected to go, which is funny, but I just found a passion. I really wanted to help business owners, and I like something that was outside the box that was making a difference. So I went to UC Irvine, and out of UC Irvine, in essence, probably about 2006, I got into the payroll industry, and then from there kind of merged into PEO, and I've been in PEO ever since.
Okay.
And Engage was founded in 2011, organically speaking, probably the fastest growing PEO in the country. And we've been there, you know, since about the middle of the year.
Okay, fantastic. I have one question to start. I have lots of questions. But the first one is, what the heck is a PEO? And, you know, let's start there. Let's define what a PEO
Absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely. Yeah, I get that question a lot, but it's becoming more prominent, undoubtedly. So what it stands for is Professional Employer Organization. And to simply put, really what we do is we either become or support the HR department within the company, and tasks involved in that are, you know, we do the payroll, the workers' comp, the health and benefits, the 401k, and then from, you know, basic HR standpoint, hire, fire, handbook, labor poster, job descriptions, all of those things we support.
Okay. You're not fulfilling that role, though. You're just
No.
That.
So what makes it, in essence, a PEO instead of you know, a payroll company that does other things is the PEO handles the payroll under the PEO's Fed ID. In essence, making it a co-employment relationship.
Okay.
So, and then people usually go, okay, well, what does that mean? You know, do you come in and take over, you know, that piece of my business? And no, absolutely not. So the best way I've learned to describe it is within the co-employment, we become the employer of the paper. You become and maintain employer of the people. So you still make all the decisions, all the hiring and firing. We're there to support, but then we share in that liability. Again, kind of being the co-employment. And then, you know, in our perspective, we have 40,000 worksite employees. So now you're coming into a company with 40,000 worksite instead of your 5 or 10 or 50 or whatnot, and getting a Fortune 500 infrastructure.
So when you work with an organization, let's say mine, I have 5 people, now because I'm working with you guys, I get pulled into this group, and now my group plan and benefits is based on 40,000.
Correct.
40,000 and 5.
Yeah, it becomes a large group plan, which one of the main differences is composite rated medical versus age banded. So everyone has the same rate, whether you're 20 or 60.
Okay, well, that definitely is a huge strategic advantage for small businesses. That, and I've been there and had to purchase insurance and things for my employees, and it was expensive, you know, because we're doing it on our own versus trying to get into a group plan. Okay, that's really interesting. I want to backtrack just a little bit. I asked some questions of my guests, and I want to ask them of you as well. So when you think about growing your book of business, let's say, because it's not your company, but you still have responsibility to grow business.
Correct.
What keeps you up at night?
The regulation. I mean, in California, it's so employee friendly. So it scares me to what keeping up with it, what's coming next. And, you know, I wish it were more friendly towards the business growth, but that's what concerns me.
Okay. All right. And what's the best business advice you've ever given and or received?
There's been a few of them, but I'd say the most impactful was early in my career, it was something that was more learned than really said. And what I learned was it's not about you. At the end of the day, whoever you're sitting across, it's about how you can help and impact them. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't matter who they are. And I say that specifically for a reason. I'll tell you a little story. So where I learned that was I was selling payroll, and I had a meeting with a doctor's office. And we weren't meeting the doctor. I mean, it was very rare when they came out and had time. So we were meeting with the lady who managed the practice. And I was still relatively new, so there was one of the top reps in the company was coming to the meeting along with myself. She, unfortunately, was running a little bit late. So I started the meeting, and I start talking to, you know, the manager about what we can do to help the practice and what we can do to help the doctors, thinking that's the impact she cares about. And it went terribly. And then, you know, this top rep came in about 15 minutes into the meeting and just started talking to that manager about how we could help her, how it would impact her life and her job on a day-to-day basis. And we were able to close the business. And I just learned a very valuable lesson that it's never about other people, especially yourself. It's about that person you're sitting across from, because they really want to know how you can help and impact them.
Well, and I think there's a process I use sometimes called laddering, where we're looking at kind of the functional attributes and how we layer those up or ladder them up mm-hmm. to the emotional side to ultimately what's the impact on that particular individual that's making the decision to bring us on or to buy this widget, those kinds of things. So exactly what you're saying. There's always a consideration. Not only do we work on our client's behalf or our company's behalf, but there's also that personal aspect of what does it really do for me? Because not only can it do in the positive side, you make bad decisions, it can do on the negative side. I mean, there used to be an old saying years ago, right? You're not going to get fired for buying IBM.
Exactly.
And so it's that kind of aspect. Okay. Now, I have one more question I want to ask you. If you think about your life and your journey, mm-hmm. and if it was a book, what would the title of the book be?
That's a good question. I'd really want it to be about how I impacted others.
Okay.
Because that's where kind of once I really became focused on that, that's when I would say my career just skyrocketed, when it became about building, you know, personal relationships, you know, how to build personal relationships and help others, that impact. I mean, you know, I would, you know, start doing things at charities, going to Big Brothers, Big Sisters, inviting people out, or, you know, doing something a little more personal, like going out on a boat. Mm-hmm. And doing things like that really changed my relationships with people. I no longer became, oh, that PEO guy or that business guy. I became Brandon, and they knew who I was as a person. They knew about my family. They knew what I cared about, and they always remembered me and always went back to, you know, me once I figured that out.
Well, it is about that personal relationship. I chuckled here. I don't know if you saw me, but we met on a boat.
Yep.
And that's, it was about 6 months ago and got to see each other. I think we played some golf together. And, you know, as we started to get to know each other, and we're out in the hallway prior to this show talking about your son and going to an event today, and I was sharing stories about mine. So I do believe that emotional connection and that relationship, it supersedes really anything else. And it's like going to a networking meeting, and I try to tell people, when you go to a networking meeting, don't start off by just jamming what you do down their throat, because nobody really cares. You got to relate on a personal level and in order to get to the business part, right?
And then what you can do to help them. Who can I introduce you to? Who are you looking for? Yeah. I mean, that was a big impact. But, you know, with that said, it has to be genuine.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
That's something that you have to want to do, and you genuinely have to care about it. It's not, oh, I think that sounds good, so I'm going to go out and do it because, you know, Brandon said I can be more successful. That's actually, you'll have the adverse effect.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a lot of challenges for employers right now. From talent acquisition and retention are on the top of the list. I saw a study a little while back that said that 34% of new hires leave within 90 days. With low unemployment, employees are really just jumping ship left and right. And let's not forget, I think the latest statistic I saw is about 85% of American workers are unhappy and disengaged. So there's a lot working against employers right now. So what are some of the steps or strategies that you have offered or seen in the marketplace to help drive employee retention and loyalty?
Yeah, and I could tell you that's what I see as the number one issue with business owners right now, is how to attract and retain top talent. Everyone's doing well. You know, business is coming in, so how do I keep those quality people that, you know, are taking care of my customers, or how do I find more of them? That is, you know, the thing that seems to keep them up at night. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that a PEO does a great job of. So ultimately, again, coming in with a higher level of benefits. We're seeing people get more creative. So what you're starting to see is, you know, it's becoming more consumer driven. They're getting the employees more involved so they truly understand what it looks like, what you're paying. You know, they're putting it on the W-2s, but they're also going more towards like a health savings account, where they're allowing the employees to have more of an impact, where, you know, a health savings account, you don't lose it at the end of the year. It rolls over. And, you know, in our case, after the first $1,000 is invested, they could go out and invest that money and grow it. And it starts impacting, and they can use it for their health care. And you can even do certain things like your grandma could put money into your, you know, health savings account, which people don't realize. Mm-hmm. Instead of getting that ugly tie for your birthday, putting in your HSA. But I mean, they're getting more creative like that, thinking outside the box, and it's helping, because, you know, you want to show that you give the employees more, but you also give them more ability to impact, you know, their choices. Mm-hmm. Instead of, here it is, this is what you get.
How do you get into education? You know, I've worked for on the corporate side, and I remember sitting in a benefits and healthcare meeting, and the people were just they're talking away. I had no idea half the time what they were saying. I never really got my questions answered the way I needed to, and I would have to imagine education that you bring to the table has got to be a huge deal. You want to?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think that's absolutely critical. I mean, the funny part is, if you take the time to sit down with them individually and go through it and be available, it saves you the headache of having to do it later. So it's the funny part is, it's more efficient. You know, if you spend the time up front and do that, but just be a resource, or, you know, even offer more resources. And we're seeing a lot of that too, because, you know, maybe they don't want to talk to somebody in the company because it's their friend, or they go to lunch with them and, mm-hmm. you know, that's their HR person, and they don't feel comfortable talking about their personal history or what's going on. So it's nice to have a third party come in that's unbiased and doesn't have that relationship.
In your company, you're a resource. So if I had a question, I could go right to you. I don't have to go through HR. So I actually developed the relationship with you.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the nice differentiators. Yeah. No question. So it helps, and it becomes a supplement. I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be the only solution, but it becomes, you know, one of them.
Okay. All right. What do you find it kind of the biggest surprise to small businesses? You know, I'm the solopreneur, you know, maybe I've got one person and now I'm starting to grow. And, you know, again, like I was saying earlier with me, I'm buying one policy to cover me and my wife and my kids. And next thing you know, I've got 5, 6, 7 employees and I'm just an utter shock about, right? And I think that, and we were talking, it's not like, I'm hiring you and hiring Paul over there because comes with you is your wife, 2 kids. He's got wife, kids, grandkids. So all of a sudden, I got all these people, but yet they don't actually add up to the numbers of the policy.
Yeah, yeah. You look at that with the healthcare, which it seems second nature for myself, has been doing it for over a decade. But you know, people look at it and go, okay, you know, we need a certain number of people to have a policy. And they think that they're, you know, themselves, their spouse, and their 2 children count as 4, and mm-hmm. they really count as 1 person. So really what they're looking at is the number of actual employees, but then they also want to understand how many you have, because they want participation. That's actually very important for the healthcare, the carriers, because they call that adverse selection. If you've got, you know, 20 or 30% of your employees participating, there's a very good chance that a lot of them are sick. So you've got to find a way to get everybody to participate. You want everyone to be on the healthcare, because there are some, you know, rules within that that the healthcare companies they have. And, you know, they just don't understand everything behind the scenes that goes on within that. I mean, that's one little example of the healthcare, but then they look at all the taxes that they have to pay. And, you know, now they've got workers' comp insurance mm-hmm. and all these other things that are involved, that it just becomes a very daunting task when, you know, they started the business because, you know, they loved you know, a technology that they created, or they wanted to go help people. I mean, you know, no one starts a business because they want to have employees.
Yeah.
And then they realize what that entails, and they're going, holy cow. So that's a lot of where the PEO industry comes in is, you know, we jokingly say it's the best thing to having no employees, because we take on that burden.
Right. Well, again, I find that as such a strategic advantage for small businesses. The areas of kind of workplace retention, there's a lot of conversation about wellness programs.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm looking here at my sheets, and this was a study done by, I think it's called Factal, reveals that flex hours can influence 88% of respondents to choose a job over a lower salary or an opportunity because of these packages of benefits.
Yeah.
And so let's explore that a little bit. And how does wellness really play into this? And for your company, but into the industry in general, because salary is important, but I think you mentioned earlier that the kind of the package of what you're getting becomes even more important.
Yeah, and we're seeing that. I mean, with the economy doing as well as it is, with the unemployment rate as low as it is, people are being more selective, and they seem to care more about the ancillary benefits than they do about the salary. Now, don't get me wrong, salary is important, but you know, they're looking at the benefits piece. They're looking at, what else do I have available to me? You know, do I have a 401k? What do the benefits look like? Are you also offering dental and vision? You know, how are you setting these things up? Are there training programs? Are there discount programs? Just all these additional services that a large company would have, you mm-hmm. know, an AT&T or Boeing or something like that would have this entire infrastructure. It's very difficult and costly for a small business to set all that up. And again, that's one of the reasons they go to a PEO, because the PEO has that all turnkey. It's all set up as part of that infrastructure. So I've seen clients put that on their website when they're hiring. They mention that they're part of a PEO, and here's all the things that they offer. And that's very impactful. People are much more attracted to that than the base salary, if they're equal or pretty close.
Sure. Right? So part of my background is market research, so I'm always interested on how companies gather these insights. So what what do you do or your company do to, you know, go out into the marketplace, survey your members, if you will, I'll call them members, to make sure you're giving them the kinds of benefits and that they're really interested. I'm looking at the study I started to read out of Harvard Business Journal, and they get, you know, better health, dental, and vision was the number one. But then it's more flex hours, more vacation time, work from home, you know, unlimited vacation, student loan assistance. I've seen that before. I wish I could get that from my kids. You know, tuition assistance, yeah. Paid maternity, gym memberships, snacks, coffee, company retreats. So, I mean, there's a laundry list of potential items. Obviously, company retreats not as important to a kind of a entry level employee as it is to the executives. But what are some of those kind of trends that you see going on in the market as far as these kinds of packages?
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely up. Like I said, that people are more focused on that, is even a little bit more than that base salary. So we have a lot of relationships with the employees and the employer, because we set it up as a personal relationship. So they have dedicated people that they get to know, and we spend a lot of time going out on site. So we're able to see what people are looking for and what they're asking for. And then we can, adjust what we're offering as part of that. But you see the large healthcare companies are paying attention to that because they're seeing the trend. So we have a relationship with Aetna. So we're able to see a lot of that through what they're doing as well. So it's a lot about the partnerships, but it's also a lot about the relationships internally with the clients. So we see all of those things, and we're able to kind of add more services.
Okay, so you're really getting that from your providers, if you will.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay. I mean, partnerships are important.
I always say this at the end of every show. We're actually starting to wind down already, but what do you see as businesses head into 2020? Is there anything on the horizon? My last show we were talking about AB5 with the independent employment. You know, is there anything on the horizon that is going to cause a positive or negative impact on businesses when it comes to healthcare and employee benefits and these kinds of packages?
Yeah, I mean, healthcare rates are going up. I mean, they're going up every year. So they're coming out with unique ways. Again, as I was saying, the HSA is up. I was just looking at it, it's up 18% over last year with small businesses. Hmm. When, we thought it was more large businesses over 100 employees were doing it, and we're seeing it kind of trickle down because they're giving the employees more ability to make their decision. People are just getting smarter. I mean, they have more access to that research and talking to people. And we're seeing that happen a lot more as they're asking for it because they've seen it or they've heard about it or they've talked to people. So it's not as much just kind of going through their, everyday 9-to-5. They're understanding the impact and they're wanting that. So people are being more vocal. So we're seeing a lot of that happening. But overall, I mean, everything seems to be trending very well. The AB5, that's, people are working through that and figuring that piece out. So it's I expect 2020 to be a very positive year. I don't see anything otherwise.
Okay, fantastic. So why don't we kind of end with a couple recommendations that you'd like to give my listeners when it comes to thinking about employee benefits, healthcare, some tips and tricks that how they should look at things.
That's a good question. So it's a unique balance. It's a balance between offering the employees more, but then being able to afford that. And mm-hmm. and one thing that I'm always adamant about is, make sure that you can afford to give that to them in the long term, because you can't give it to them and take it away. I mean, you can't all of a sudden, offer, a higher, a richer plan at less, and then next year take it away. You're better off not doing it. So just make sure that before you give them something, you can really handle it for the long term, because it's actually, you know, more detrimental if you give it to them and take it away.
All right. Well, fantastic. Well, thank you so much. This has been a great conversation. I know we tend to, at this show, when thinking about business, about marketing and sales and all those kinds of different things, but this is such an important topic, because it does is a huge investment. I won't call it an expense. It is an investment on the part of businesses, and can really have an impact on the overall growth. So, Brandon, thank you. Why don't you tell the listeners how they can reach you and connect with you and all that good stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm on LinkedIn. Again, the name is Brandon Carl. You can look at Engage PEO. My email address, if you need to get a hold of me, is first initial last name, so BCARL@engagepeo.com.
All right. Well, thank you so much, and thank you out there for listening to us today. You can find out more about me, read my blogs, or view my show videos at theponzigroup.com, or certainly connect with me on LinkedIn. And if your business is ready for growth and you need a CMO, but you're not quite ready for a full-time person yet, connect with me. I'd welcome the opportunity to explore the benefits of using a fractional CMO. And lastly, please subscribe to this show. And if you're already a subscriber, I encourage you to ask others to join as well, so they can benefit from this great content that we had today and all the others. You can find out more about there at thebusinessgrowthcafe.com or any major podcast platform that you listen to. Thank you again for joining us today. Happy holidays if we're not back on the air before next year. And join us next year for lunch at the Business Growth Cafe.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to today's discussion at the Business Growth Cafe with your host, Angelo Ponzi. Take a moment to subscribe to this podcast and visit our website at www.businessgrowthcafe.com. Read Angelo Ponzi's blogs at www.theponzigroup.com.